everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. We are back in our studio. We have our fancy gear again, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And it is, I mean, we're starting to get, it is in June now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope you all are not staying too dry. It looks pretty dry out there, so.
We could use some rain.
We could use some rain. So if you're able to, I hope you're able to go out and get, you know, get some beach time, whatnot. For those of you who have farms, we're praying for you and for your fields, because it is
yeah,
hard out there.
Yep.
But here, it is now time for Deeper. It's time to get back into this. So Dan, why don't you refresh our memory? What did we talk about on Sunday?
So kind of in between, we'll talk about it at the end, but we're going to start a new summer series next Sunday morning. So we've just been kind of in between the last few weeks as we've had some special Sundays going on, whether it was Ascension Day, Youth Sunday, different things. And so we had this one kind of last in between one. And in the church's liturgical calendar, it's Trinity Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, let's focus on that, you know, celebrating that God is three in one. But of course, that comes with a lot of questions sometimes, you know, how do we come to this belief? And so we spent some time at the outset, just where does this belief come from in Scripture? And then talked about the implications of that. Okay, this is who God is. How does he then live in his being, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we use the passage from John 16 to highlight that, this interconnectivity, giving, receiving amongst Father, Son, and Spirit, Jesus talks about there. And then thinking, all right, if that's how God lives, we're made in his image, this probably should influence how we live and in our relationships, not being self-centered, or we used kind of the orbiting imagery of not thinking the world just revolves around us, but being like our God and being looking outside of ourselves and looking to love, of course, him, mm-hmm. but also love our neighbor as ourselves. So we talked just a little bit at the end. I gave kind of three looks, you know, look to bless, look in the mirror to make sure how we doing with this, and then look to our gifts. That's how God's made us, so we can bless others in the way that he blesses us. So, yeah, just a week to really focus on who God is and see the implications of that. Pretty fundamental belief, I'd say, for us as Christians. So
yeah, it's kind of central to so much of what we do. So I'm really glad we got to revisit it. I'd love to start out, though, with that communal portion, because, you know, we were talking, and I love, as someone who used to want to be an astronaut, but still follows space stuff, like, with a burning passion, I love that imagery as we talked about, you know, where do we orbit around?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Does the world revolve around us? Does the world revolve around, how do we understand what the center of our universes are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always something, and we kind of hit on this a lot of different times throughout this podcast, like going back, being like, where is my main focus? Where is my main priority?
Yeah.
And it's always worth going back to, because I think it's kind of so natural for us to be, no, it revolves around me. Again, that's what, until really very few hundred years ago,
yeah,
was just the default assumption, not only of our physical world, but just about ourselves.
Yeah.
So I always love going back to that. And especially right now, because I feel like our society is so focused on individualism, self-sufficiency. I want to be a self-made man. I don't need help. And parts of our communities are doing better. And in the church, we like to think of ourselves as being a bit better about having that communal element.
Mm-hmm.
Again, following the example of the Trinity,
sure,
being always in community. But when we are so steeped in I'm a self-made man, I got to do this on my own, I can't have any, you know, if I have help, I look weak or whatnot, that really can get to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we did talk a bit about it on Sunday, but I just want to hammer more on this. How do we push back against that, the world revolves around me and I need to handle it all on my own?
Mm-hmm. Some of it, I think, is recognizing how prone we are to go there in our culture. Just was talking to someone else who had traveled overseas recently. It's been my experience. Many places are much more communal than we are here in the Western world. We are much more individualized. And I don't think we even realize it because it's the norm for us. And so that tendency to be self-centered, think things revolve around us, it's very natural for us. So we need to be aware of it. We can't just think like, well, I'd never be tempted to be that way. And we have to watch maybe for some of those warning signs. That's what I was trying to give the look in the mirror. Like, yeah, how am I spending my time? What am I expecting of even those around me to be doing for me? And I, you know, I think one thing that I just maybe mentioned it, but we didn't go into it, especially when we're in stressful spots, we tend to much more go that way. And there's some, you know, fight or flight kind of survival stuff that's built into us in those cases, right? That just, I got to watch out for me. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, whether it's economically, whether it's, you know, just as we look around the world and the conflicts going on, we're in a season, even in our fairly sheltered, you know, life here, where more of that stress is being felt.
Yeah.
And so what's the tendency going to be? More self-centered. I got to look out for me. Take care of yourself, right? And so I think now, even as much as any other time, we need to be aware of this. We're in a culture that's wired that way already. A lot of us are probably feeling a little more stress, a little less comfort, you know, in some things where we're then prone to go even more into ourselves. So, yeah, in the church, too, we got to watch out for it. And it can take different forms, right? We think of just the classic narcissist or something like that, who's just only sees about themselves and it's all about them. And they're, as long as you're with me, you're my friend. But if not, you're an enemy. And of course, that's there. But there's just these little things that we love and are passionate about that we can just put up on a pedestal and then make it, it's all about that, even as a small group. For example, at church here, right? We have a ministry Austin and I are doing, say, well, it's deeper, you know, we'll talk about that. And we're like, well, nothing else matters except for deeper, like finances need to be routed there. You know, all the kind of social media stuff, but well, no, there's other ministries and we can do that even in those kinds of things. It could be a project you're working on in your company, but there's other areas, of course, of the company, right? Or yeah, what you're studying in school, of course you're interested in that, but other areas of study matter too. We can minimize and kind of put down sometimes, and then also just think like, well, what I'm doing is what really matters. Mm. And understanding there's a part of us, we're doing what we're doing because we think it's important. I'm doing things the way I'm doing them because I think that's, there's a right way behind that and there's reason behind it. But we can get very just not hear, not learn, not care about anything or anyone else. So it's a very good point that we're not being countercultural by being self-centered. That's very much even what we're told to be in a lot of ways. It's very countercultural to be more communal and other-centered, even just from a neighbor perspective, let alone focusing on the Lord and trying to give glory to Him. So it takes focus.
It really does. And one kind of counter element to that that I'd love to ask you about. So it's one thing to be like, yes, I need to be thinking more of other, and so being generous with your resource and whatnot. How do we respond well when someone asks for help?
Mm.
Because it's one thing to, you know, work on that internal perspective shift and be like, I need to be more aware of it. How do we, when the opportunity arises, if someone is vulnerable enough to be like, hey, I do need help, how do we do that well? Because I know I'm not good at doing that when I have people being like, hey, I'm in a hard place. I really need.
Yeah, because it's going to take us away from our own schedule or whatever we have to do. So, the mindset, right? That's a big thing. Like when we're looking for those opportunities, then when someone comes up, like, okay, this must be it, right? So you're more ready. Yeah. That was that idea of looking to bless, or maybe even it would have been better to say just looking to the Spirit, because you're looking for the Spirit's leading, which you know is going to be in these kinds of directions. But I wonder, even just even from a practical standpoint, we can be so hyper-efficient and optimized in our scheduling, right? That, well, I don't have any space. And so maybe we don't need to schedule quite as tight or as much stuff too. And so we have some room to be loving of our neighbor and doing that too.
I think that efficiency piece, and we've talked about that before, is so, we drive efficiency into everything we do. And I mean, you look at like the AI stuff now, it's all about how can we make everything as efficient as possible and as streamlined as possible. And while there is obviously business reasons to be doing things like that, I do wonder if on the human side, our pursuit of efficiency really distances ourselves from our humanity.
Yeah. Well, and even that uniqueness of each person, right? It's hard to see that when it's like we're more like an assembly line than, and clearly God's creation of us is very particular and unique of each one. And so there's some conflict there, as it were. And you bring up a good point. We mentioned how in the passage we see, you know, the Father's giving to the Spirit, the Spirit's giving to Jesus, but there's the receiving side too. And that's also hard for us at times, one, to ask for help, like Austin was saying, you know, and but also just sometimes to receive. If someone's looking to do, they're looking to hold the door for me. They're looking to, hey, let me buy your dinner. We have an automatic sometimes pushback. Like, no. You don't need to do that. I can do it. I can provide for myself, mm-hmm. right? I'm self-sufficient. You know, it's like, no, like, and then we're kind of destroying this opportunity to live that way. We're cutting that off. Yeah, so that receiving is important too.
So, well, I think one of the first ways I actually realized that was when I was in college and my folks wanted, you know, they'd come and they'd visit and they'd want to, you know, again, buy me food, buy me some stuff from my dorm room. And, you know, on the one hand, I just got my first job, real job.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do this. I want to show you that I'm independent.
Right.
But then being, especially now being a parent and realizing like, no, that is just them trying to love me well and show that love in a way that obviously I knew they loved, but that was, again, just a different way of seeing it lived out. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that even just like, obviously that's, you know, a parent and their child. But so much that can also apply in so many other contexts.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone just like, hey, let me help that, you know, carrying groceries in. Like, hey, let me grab a couple bags. Mm-hmm. You know, I got it. We can just allow.
It's not an insult. It's a, like, right. No, let me come alongside you.
Well, and it's to the point of our sermon on Sunday, it's just someone trying to be human, really, because this is what we're made to be doing. This is being made in the image of God. Whether someone's fully recognizing that or not, you know, we should be doing this as Christians from that perspective. However, sometimes, you know, the grace of God, someone's just acting well, right? Yeah. They're trying to do something nice. They see somebody who needs help. So receiving and giving, right? Looking for ways to give, of course, but receiving the grace and the love that comes from others too.
Yeah. We're going to do something a little different that we haven't done on this show before. I'm going to play you all a video clip. This is an older clip, I think about 13, 14 years old. Some of you may have seen it. It's very funny, but it talks about the Trinity because the Trinity is complex. So let's watch this clip.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick.
Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick.
Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water and how you can find water in three different forms. Liquid and ice and vapor.
That's modalism, Patrick.
What?
Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick!
Yeah, get it together, Patrick!
So obviously that's a funny example, but the Trinity is a really complicated thing to talk about. And I think is that video goes on for several more minutes where he goes through and keeps on giving a different heresy.
Yeah.
And that heresy word is very scary, honestly, a lot of the time, because like they were saying, you know, how can someone who believes this be considered part of the Church Catholic, part of the true church? But even those of us who have studied scripture for a long time, have studied the faith for a long time, really struggle sometimes to explain concepts like the Trinity. Mm-hmm. I know I for sure, as I look towards eventually having to teach my kid about this, I'm like, how am I going to do this in a way that's faithful? That's honestly not heretical.
Right.
So I guess my question would be, especially for those of us who don't necessarily have the time, the energy, the resources, the education to spend a lot of time making sure we get this right, exactly right. How do we handle some of these topics that are super complicated when someone's asking? And how concerned should we be about potentially spreading a heresy?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it does take care, right? I think that's what we try to do, and even kind of going through it a bit on Sunday, is to say, this is an important part of our faith, right? This is, in some ways, fundamental to our faith, distinguishing about the Christian faith from others. So, like, we should know where it comes from, at least. And I think for, you know, theologians get deep into the weeds on this stuff, right? And even in the video, right, you hear turning like, what is that? You know, and they've termed all these things. Sometimes they're named after the people who came up with them and all that stuff. And that's fine and good. And we need good thinkers to dive deep. But for the normal person, one, we need to know, okay, where does this come from? And that's what we tried to do, like, all right, why do we talk this way that God is three in one? And so let's go see where the scriptural evidence is. And just like, okay, yeah, like that's what we try to do Sunday, walk through some of the passages where this comes up. And I think the humility then of just acknowledging, hey, this is why we talk about it, because here it is. It's in the Bible, clearly, not just like in one place, but kind of throughout. There is this tension, like there seems to be Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet clearly God's one. And then the humility of saying, listen, I don't have the intelligence or the wisdom to really explain that in a way where you're going to be like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, there's some mystery there. God's so much bigger. Happy to talk about it some, but yeah, I want to do so with care. And yeah, even on Sunday when you tackle these things, right, it's you end up emphasizing typically one part or the other. Like we probably emphasize more the threeness on Sunday morning than we did the oneness. Well, you got to be careful, right? Because it's not multiple gods. He's one God, right? But yeah, clearly manifests himself in a particular way that, all right, well, you know, the Son's doing that, you know, so how do you do that? So I think that humility, if you're in a conversation with someone who's, you know, asking about that, you know, just to say like, hey, I'm not an expert on it as far as like I haven't studied it theologically. I'm not a professor, that kind of thing. But the best often answer is, well, this is God. He's way bigger than we are. So even for the professor, even for the one who studied this and written about it extensively, there's a limit to how we can get. There's helpful analogies, like the video points out. It helps us a little bit understand, like, oh, okay, you can see where that might work out. But they all fall short.
Yeah.
And I think the basic thing is, okay, if we believe in this, we should know where's that coming from scripturally. And there's great helps, like we talked about with the Nicene Creed. Mm-hmm. When you go and see some of those statements laid out that have scripture references,
yeah,
that's very helpful to go and see like, oh, okay, let me read that passage. Let me go to Genesis 1, mm-hmm, Matthew 3, whatever. And yeah, there's further controversy about all these because, of course, people have disagreements and lots of things. But I think in general, we can get in the weeds on things that aren't very important. And in general, I would say don't spend too much energy on those things. Know what the essentials are of our faith, the real foundational things. Those are the ones we should know, at least where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we're always at the end of the day, hey, this is why we believe this. This is how, you know, our tradition or myself, you know, we read these passages. Mm-hmm. But yeah, God's much bigger than we are. And so, yeah, if you ask me to explain it in a way that, you know, makes exact sense, it's maybe going to click. The water example might click with somebody and like, oh, okay, that helps me understand. It might, for someone else, say heresy, you know? So,
yeah.
You do have to be careful.
I love the humility grounding all of that. And I think that's just something in general. And that goes back to even to our asking for and offering help, is that so much needs to be grounded in a humility of, I am just a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm made in the image of God. I have the Spirit indwelling me, but I am just a dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know. I think that really makes a big difference as we worry about some of these things.
Yeah. That's a great point too. Cause I think there's the errors on either side, right? I can become prideful in this stuff and, you know, come at it so strong. And how could you not understand this? See, this is how it is.
And you point out all 57 different heresies.
I'm ready to call anybody a heretic. I'm very judgmental. And the other side, I can become kind of dismayed or despair. How can I ever talk about this? See this Austin example. Like, well, I won't even bring it up with my kids because I can't talk about this. I don't know. It's way over my head. Well, that's not good either,
right. Because
we do need to talk about how are they ever going to know who God is and what scripture reveals. Even if it's beyond us, ultimately, we want to pass that on what we can. And so if we despair and just avoid it, that's not good. But yeah, we got to be careful not to be prideful and out of that judgmental and damaging to the faith or to others through that attitude. So yeah, good balance as always.
As always, a good balance.
Yeah.
You mentioned that we are about to start a new series. Would you mind explaining a little bit where we're going the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So if you've been with us in the past, you know, each summer we tend to have a kind of extended series, and we've often like to have them be kind of easier to drop in and drop out of because people are moving about in the summer. We have vacations, all that. So we've done things connected with the natural world last few years, water, trees, food, things like that. So we were looking this summer, what do we do? And, you know, in scripture, when you're reading it, God communicates in lots of different ways. One of the ways he does that is through numbers at times to communicate something that's going on and just another level of communication. And so we looked at, let's do a series on some of the numbers in Scripture, the meaning behind them, but particularly, of course, the text which they take place in. So why is there, you know, 12 disciples maybe, or why is there, you know, three of this? So we're going to start that this coming Sunday and throughout the summer, hit on some of these different numbers. Some we might tackle more than once, just in a different context. This week, fittingly, we're going to begin with the number one. And actually, a text we referenced this week, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, commonly known as the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And there's a lot to talk about there as far as who God is that connect a little bit with what we talked about this week. But there's also some pointers toward then us as well, and kind of this singular loyalty we're called to when it comes to our relationship with God, too. And that's really, as the people are about to go in the land, Moses is reminding of that too. So it's some things about the Lord and some things about us, which is usually the case in Scripture. So we're looking forward to the series. I hope it'll be all different places in Scripture, but looking forward to getting into it with all of you.
There's so much fun that can get into this. So I am so excited. Thanks, Dan, again for your time today. Thanks to all of you for listening and watching with us. We look forward to seeing you again next time. Go in peace.